Last summer, South Dakota authorities told David Score his 14-year-old daughter would be sent to a boot camp. The boot camp was run by the state for girls who had broken the law. Although David Score didn't have a choice, he thought sending Gina away might be a good idea. Maybe the strict discipline would get his daughter to stop stealing from other girls' lockers at school.
Gina, she was real scared at first, but we talked it through and told her that it was for the best. And she went in on Friday, and she died that Wednesday.
A year later, Gina Score's death is still a prime topic of conversation in South Dakota. It has prompted several lawsuits and fiery debates over how to handle juvenile offenders, whether boot camps can straighten out wayward kids, or whether their militaristic style lends itself too easily to abuse. Gina Score had been sent to the boot camp for petty theft. Sometimes she stole from her parents or her neighbors or from kids she knew. She would take a few dollars here, a few there, mainly to buy candy. Her dad says she never took more than $65, and she would repay most of it. He can't figure out why she did it, because in every other way, she was a normal, happy kid. Sensitive and intelligent, she liked to write poetry and planned on skipping a grade when she came home. David Score takes out a tattered wallet and pulls out a picture of his daughter.
Probably 13 there. Yeah, that was her last school picture.
In the picture is a smiling girl with brown eyes and short blonde hair. You can't tell from the photo that Gina was seriously overweight. At 5'4", she weighed 224 pounds. She was in no shape to go on a nearly 3-mile run in the middle of the summer. The boot camp is located among cornfields near a small town called Plankington in the eastern part of South Dakota. If it weren't for the barbed wire security fence ringing the low-slung cottages, the place might look like a summer camp. It was Governor Bill Janklow's idea to create the facility. He says it was intended to be sort of like a summer camp, where kids would be educated, given plenty of outdoor exercise, and taught how to behave. It would also be a place of discipline, where kids who had bucked authority at home would learn to respect adults and the law. But now he admits,
it was a disaster, and there's no question about that. I had a leadership problem there. I had a staffing problem there. We had a problem every way you look at it.
The instilling of discipline began the first day the girls arrived with an induction copied from the Marines boot camp. As recorded on this training video, the girls would be lined up in a gym to do calisthenics. The guards would scream and yell at them. The goal, according to the training manual, was to, quote, overwhelm them with fear and anxiety. Nancy Deppe worked at the boot camp as a youth counselor last year. She says she was horrified when she saw her first induction.
A group leader was in there, and, you know, they talk real big. A lot of them are Army guys. He said, when I'm done with them, if they aren't pissing their pants or puking, I haven't done my job. They all have to drop to the floor and do push-ups. And push-ups and push-ups. I mean, till their arms are shaking, they're collapsing. Some of them would be crying. Some would curl up in a ball. It was sickening, I thought. And honestly, I can't tell you they ever laid a hand on them, but the mental abuse was horrible.
According to several witnesses, Gina Score had trouble doing the exercises. Her weight kept her from doing even simple leg lifts. But she had been cleared by a doctor for the intense physical training at the boot camp. So on Wednesday morning, July 21st, Gina and a dozen other girls began a 2.7-mile run. It was hot and humid. Shortly after the girls headed off down a gravel road, Gina fell behind. She complained that she just couldn't complete the run. The drill instructors yelled at her to keep going and show some effort, says Rick Johnson, an attorney who represents the Score family.
They'd hook arms with her and taunt her, and they forced her to complete the run, and finally she just fell down exhausted.
The South Dakota Attorney General investigated what happened that morning. The report gives a minute-by-minute account. It says after Gina collapsed, she lay on the ground panting in the sun, unable to get up. Her skin was pale, her lips purple. Her eyes were rolled back in her head. She was frothing at the mouth. Some of the girls who were on the run said she was babbling incoherently. Yet as delirious as she was, she remembered to say, "Yes, sir, no, ma'am," as she had been taught in the induction. And through all of that, according to the Attorney General's report, the drill instructors thought she was faking. They drank sodas outside and stood around laughing and chatting as Gina lay on the ground in front of them, 100 feet away from an air-conditioned cottage. A doctor who happened to stop by saw Gina and immediately called an ambulance, but it was too late. After spending nearly 4 hours prostrate in the summer heat, Gina's organs had shut down.
We got called about 11:30 that day.
Gina's dad, David Score.
And she was en route to the hospital then. They really didn't tell us anything until we got to the hospital there, and then they said that she had possible heart attack. We didn't find out until maybe 3 weeks later. And we found it out on the news.
He found out that the autopsy said the cause was actually heat stroke. Attorney Rick Johnson is representing the Score family in a wrongful death lawsuit.
The medical reports show that they checked her temperature rectally and it went to 108, which is as high as a thermometer goes. So then they packed her in ice for like 30 minutes and then they checked her temperature again and it still went to 108.
South Dakota Governor Bill Janklow blames rogue employees, the two guards who forced Gina to run and then did nothing as she lay on the ground in front of them. He says they displayed a callous indifference to the suffering of a young girl.
To the extent you have policies that aren't followed, or people not following them, then you can have problems. And sometimes they're tragic, and I mean they're tragic. And were I to have been a parent who lost a loved one, whether or not they'd ever been in trouble, I would be as furious as any human being could be.
Janklow decided to build the boot camp 2 years ago after creating a similar boot camp for boys. He says his own experience in the Marines when he was a teenager turned his life around. And so he placed his faith in a former Marine with no experience in juvenile corrections to run both camps. There were signs posted throughout the facility saying quitting is not an option. Lawyer Rick Johnson says that philosophy worked its way down to the two drill instructors who believed that they couldn't let Gina quit that morning. The top five people at the juvenile facility have since resigned, and those two drill instructors fired. They are being prosecuted by the state for child abuse. They couldn't comment for this story because their case is under a gag order. But some former workers, including guard Ward Denning, say those two are being used as scapegoats by the state.
People had seen it coming for a while. Everybody kind of knew that something was going to happen.
Why was that?
Just the tension. A lot of the things that you need for the kids to deal with things were taken away. Books, games, I mean, you need to be able to reward good behavior, and that wasn't being done.
The atmosphere began to change shortly after the boot camp was built, say several former guards and teachers. They say it changed from a cooperative, therapeutic place to one of discipline and punishment. Governor Janklow says it's the kids who have changed, become more troubled and hard to manage. He sees the state as their surrogate parent after their own parents have failed them. But Attorney Rick Johnson says the state must then bear the same responsibility when it fails.
If a parent or somebody had done something like this, my God, they would be asking for the death penalty.
Gina's dad, David Score, is still in shock nearly a year later at the way his daughter died.
I couldn't think that anybody could be treated that way, let alone a child that you entrusted to the state.
Tomorrow, what happened after Gina's death? Has South Dakota changed the way it handles troubled kids?